I think, too, that we would have far fewer problems in verse 13 if we practiced what is in verse 12. You know, vows of mercy. How nice is it when someone is kind to you? Do you appreciate that? Someone shows the kindness of Christ to you. He says, humbleness of mind. Do you know, really? We are nobody. As far as children of Adam, what do you have to be proud of? Our father was the father of lies, and we speak of Satan. When we were children of Adam, our nature was fallen. Here, humbleness of mind. I am today what I am only for one reason, the grace of God. How we need to lay hold of that. You know, how we think comes out usually in how we act. If we think somebody is perhaps beneath us socially, do you know that we usually will react towards them in that way unconsciously? We can't help it. We will react to other people like we see them in our mind. So how important it is to not gloss over these verses and to see that we, in fact, have humbleness of mind, that we are those that bear this character of Christ, that he was meek and lowly of heart. I don't think that, naturally speaking, any of us possess a great deal of this. This comes from the Spirit of God. Naturally speaking, we're just the opposite of these things. And long-suffering. And yes, this is exactly what I want Tony to be with me. This is what I want you to be with me. I want you to be long-suffering with me. And the Lord says, wait a minute, you've got it turned around backwards. I want you to be long-suffering with others. Not quick temper, snap. Now there's a problem. Somebody's done something. Young people, how we need to remember. Do you know what we can never take back? Words that we have expressed. Things that we have said about people. And you say, oh, if I had only not said that. These are things that divide assemblies. They divide families. They divide the people of God. And I think that the important part that David has led us to is this matter of forgiveness. Problems come up. The flesh rears its ugly head. But what about me? How was I forgiven? How were you forgiven? Were you forgiven with the list of things that if you... No. I'll tell you how we were forgiven. Unconditionally. Unconditional forgiveness. How then are we to forgive others? Exactly the same way. Exactly the same way that Christ has forgiven us. He says, I want you to forgive others in that same way. And I don't think the flesh can do that. I don't think the flesh can do that. We need the Lord's help. You know, I said in the gospel meeting the other night, one of the hardest words for an unbeliever to say is, I have sinned. One of the hardest words for a believer to say, I am sorry. I am sorry. Where do we begin to learn this, young people? I don't think it's at school. What kind of a relationship do you have with your parents? What about your mother and father? What about the siblings in your home? Is there some here that have a bad relationship at home with those whom the Lord has put you in this family with? If you have a bad relationship there, I encourage you to pray about it and to go home and say, Lord, help me to set these things right in my family. Help me to honor my father and my mother, that it may be well with thee, with me, that my days may be long upon the earth. right in the home. That's the training ground for going then out into school, for going on out into a job. And I'll tell you something. If you never learn to say, I'm sorry at home, you'll never get along with your co-workers at work. If you push those people around that you're able to in the home setting, I can tell you what kind of an employee you'll be when you try to work with others. And you'll be coming back saying, it's so hard to get along with others. They're so. I've mentioned in this meeting before. In other years, I got a little track in Vietnam in 1968 from a sister. And it was just a calendar reading she picked out and sent me. But the essence of it was, I used to think it was hard getting along with others. Until one day the Lord helped me to stop and think what it was for the others to deal with you and I. Look at what it says, forbearing one another. What does that mean?
This thought you just expressed about what kind of an employee, I want to take it a little further than that. Okay? What kind of a husband, what kind of a wife will I be? And it will be that character that you've learned to accept when you justify in yourself your behavior and saying, I'm right. In behaving like I do, in answering you like I do, you know what will come? That will continue with you until you deal with it before the Lord, honestly. But that will continue with you, and you seek to be a husband and then a father, and or you seek to be a wife and then a mother. Hmm. Young people, it's only the easiest time. Chuck says the hardest things to do is to say, first of all, I'm a sinner, and then I'm sorry. And I'll tell you, it doesn't get any easier. And the longer you wait, the harder it gets. But the verse that I wanted to set before us, verse 17, in all of this, okay? And this is a verse for me that I have to use for myself, that I have to set before myself in my mind when I'm at work. Issues are arising. And it says here, whatsoever ye do, whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do some of it or all of it. It says do all of it, all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And the only way to do that? Put on the new man.
I want this to back up also on the third set of words. I forgive you. What does that mean? Does that mean that, well, I'm going to tolerate you, but I'm always going to remember what you did? That's what it means to many people. Forgiveness is real. As Christ forgave us, so we forgive. And then you brought up another point, John, that I think needs to be brought up. And that is, we have, and I personally think that Grove City is a wonderful place, a conference like this, to look for, as the Lord leads you, a wife or a husband. I think that's a wonderful thing, to be around the young people. But let me caution you something. Young men and young women, you probably won't change that person just because you marry them. You be very careful when you're looking. And so often we're looking at the dress and the hair and all of these other things, or the lack of hair, I guess, with some of us. Just remember, don't marry someone thinking, well, I will change her and I'll make her into what she should be. Or that I'll take that husband, that man, perhaps you've already seen, he has a bit of a short temper. He's not so easy to get. He's not going to change because you've married him. So we need to remember these things, that as we are looking for these relationships to develop in our lives, we're looking for others who are walking with the Lord. How important. We can't overemphasize it.